Hare Krishna. Shankar Chaturdasi is today's Dvadasi, so it's day after tomorrow. And this morning in class we were already speaking about some aspects of the whole Prahlad Maharaj, Nrisimhadev, Hiranyakashipu pastime. Of course, everyone knows the story, although it always bears repeating. But today we're just talking about, well, I'm talking about two things, but the first one was the background, the underlying cause for Shukadev Goswami in speaking the pastime. And it comes as a consequence of the previous canto, sixth canto, and how the Lord seems to be partial to the demigods all the time, and inimical towards the demons. But one of the Supreme Lord's qualities is that he's impartial. And so that becomes the question that Parikshit Maharaj raises in the beginning of the seventh canto. Is that how is it that we see that the Lord's always partial? And of course, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Samuham Sarvabhuteshu Navidvishtas Priyastya, that he's not. He's equally disposed, samaham, sarva bhuteshu, to all living entities. But ye bhajanti tumam bhakta mai tu teshu chapiham. On the other hand, he admits that those who love him, he loves them. So Shukadeva Goswami answers this question, but he gives this whole pastime as a way of demonstrating it, which is sort of the Puranic way, not just to talk philosophy, but to illustrate it with historical events. And here the historical event relates to what was already earlier mentioned in the third canto, the fall of Jaya and Vijaya. And of course, Hiranyaksha's death had already been mentioned there. But we know that Lord Nrisimhadev appears to protect Prahlad Maharaj, and once again he kills Hiranyakashipu, and of course there's a lot of other details in the pastime, which I'm not going to get into, but it becomes very obvious at the end that he puts Prahlad Maharaj on his lap, he favors him, offers him all kinds of benedictions, makes him the king of the emperor of the universe, gives him loving devotional service. And in the meantime, there's Hiranyakashipu lying on the ground, his insides ripped out. Well, his insides around Lord Nrisimhadev's neck. Lord Nrisimhadev gardens himself with his insides. And how is this being equal? So, Shukadeva Goswami doesn't sort of, like sometimes people tell pastimes or they tell a story and they forget what it is that they're actually trying to communicate. Shukadeva Goswami doesn't forget. He communicates very clearly through Prahlad Maharaj. At the end, Prahlad Maharaj asks, although Lord Nrisimhadev is always offering him benedictions, he says, no, I don't want any benediction. He says, but if you're offering, then kindly kindly excuse my father for all of his offenses, all the things that he said and did against you and the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. And then the Lord says, that's already done. You don't have to ask. It's already happened. And there are two reasons. One is because he's related to you and your devotional service has liberated him. And the other is because I touched him, therefore he's become free of all sinful reaction. So in that sense, Hiranyakashipu was treated the same as Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu was liberated, Prahlad Maharaj was liberated. So in terms of equal dealing, he dealt with them equally. But still, the difference remains. And what's the difference? The difference is also there because the type of liberation that Prahlad Maharaj gets and the type of liberation that Hiranyakashipu gets are also different. One is impersonal liberation, and the other one is to attain love for Krishna. Well, is that fair? Well, that's what they wanted. In other words, each one had their own desire. Each one had their own approach to the Lord. So Krishna says, "Yajitamam prapadyante." Hiranyakashipu wasn't trying to make peace with Lord Nrisingadev. He wasn't trying to surrender to him. He wasn't giving him his life, but rather he wanted to kill him. He wanted to fight him. So he, all right. Krishna reciprocates, just like he reciprocated with Prahlad. He also reciprocated with Hiranyakashipu. But he reciprocated according to what they wanted. And that's his equanimity. But further, that equanimity is that they both achieved a same or a very, very similar result because Krishna is Samaham Sarvabhuteshu. But because one was inimical and the other was in love, therefore they got different types of liberation. So the resolution of contradictory characteristics, that is Krishna's partiality to his devotees, because yebhajanti tumam bhakta amaitu teshu chapi aham, because they worship him in a different way, they worship him in love and devotion rather than worshiping him, if you can call Hiranyakashipu's worship is they're inimical towards him, their absorption in him is inimical. Both of them become purified because of their absorption, but at the same time, there's a difference in the type of purification that they achieve. So in that, that principle is a very important principle, that absorption in Krishna, because he's independent, because he's impartial, absorption in Krishna leads to purification, whether it's kama, dvesha, bhaya, sneha, whether it's by fear or envy or anger or love or devotion, everyone becomes purified because Krishna is equally disposed. So it's a prevalent point, it's an important point, and it gets repeated. It gets repeated later on when again the question gets asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj in relationship to Shishupal, and how is it that someone who was so inimical was able to actually attain perfection. And then a very similar verse as to what Shukadeva Goswami says, Narada Muni also cites, that people who are absorbed in Krishna, however they're absorbed, the result of that intense absorption is that they become purified, even if they their absorption is out of anger or In the case of Hiranyakashipu, it was anger. In the case of Kamsa, it was fear. He was afraid. It's absorbed in fear, and when that he became purified. So the Lord is equal to everyone. That is the first and essential, or one of the essential teachings of this pastime. Jai Nishri Bhagavan Ki Jai.